Welcome, you all. I am Baron Baptiste, and if you're dealing with mental, emotional fatigue, aimlessness, distracted, isolated, any of that, we're going to be crushing it today in this conversation. We're going to take it deep and get into some real talk here. David, how you doing?
Always better when I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. I was thinking about awareness. I distinguished levels of awareness. First, awareness is unaware of being unaware. Second is aware of being unaware. Third level, aware of being aware. And fourth level, just aware. Just aware. Just here, awake, aware. Yeah. And I think the first step in, if you're dealing with mental, emotional fatigue or aimlessness or feeling isolated, you have to get aware. You have to start getting awareness of what's actually going on with you.
So here's the deal. I love this scale. You know, 4 points on the scale. The question is, where do you think you are? I'm not talking to you, Baron, but I'm talking about anybody who's listening. Where are you? And I think most people think that they're somewhere on that scale of, I'm aware. I know what's going on. But the truth is, how would you know? See, and then the measure of that is, how objective or subjective are you in the life that you're living? That's the question. Yeah. Most people don't realize that there's a huge distinction between being objective and subjective.
Yeah. I remember when I was in my early mid-20s, living in Los Angeles, I was tired all the time. When you're 24 years old, you've got all the physical vitality in the world, but mentally I was tired. I was dull. I also was aimless. I didn't have any real purpose in my life. I felt lost. I felt like I was in the experience of having lost myself, so to speak. But I had this kind of reckoning, and it was with myself and a kind of revelation where I woke up to, I'm tired all the time. Like, it was that first awareness and start getting curious and wonder, what's that about? And then as I kept getting more aware of being so unaware in my life, I was living on autopilot in general and without purpose, aimless. And I also felt very isolated at that time. It all went together. But as I started getting more awareness, I started seeing these things are interconnected. This aimlessness, this kind of experience of lost and having lost myself, and the mental, emotional fatigue I was experiencing, I thought they're correlated. And when I look back now, I could see at points in my life where I've lacked purpose and I was more aimless. I was tired all of the time. But awareness is the first step.
But give up then the things that are dulling you. Because that's the first part of it, is that the first truth, not about anything other than you. And so what's the first truth about you? And that truth is that you are, yes, you think you have a firm grasp on, you know, where you're going and why you're going there. But the fact is, most of the reasons why we do the things we do are not authentic to us. We got started somewhere. We got pushed into doing a career that maybe we weren't that interested in, or some of us are doing what we really believe that we love, but at the same time, we have these lingering doubts, like, maybe I was meant for something else.
Yeah. I know when I started discovering purpose in life and having passion for something, suddenly I started getting vitality back, started getting energy, vitality back. Mental awareness, the tiredness would still show up and be there, but it didn't own me. It didn't dominate me. I wasn't absorbed and immersed in the tired. It was more of like this thing in the background. But in the awareness, to your point, I started seeing things I was doing that would pull out the carpet that from underneath me energetically, emotionally, mentally, like being overreactive or adding to situations, energetically adding through reactivity and through getting resentful or angry or upset. And as I was getting more aware of myself, I was like, wait, I'm like hungover. This is like an emotional hangover. Mm. And it's like draining me, no different than drinking too much or doing too much of eating too much. And then you've got this food hangover or drinking alcohol hangover. And you're like, wait, these things I'm doing are actually, everything has an impact on the ecosystem of my mind and body and being.
There are two levels that we can look at pretty quickly here. And that is, and I've coined this phrase, you're either a reactor or you are a free actor or your room temperature.
I like that.
So
like
at the end, you will be room temperature, but how are you going to get there? What mode of operation will you find yourself in? Because if you're in a reactive state, then you're subject to all of the experiences that you're going through on a daily basis. The pressure is always there, and that drains you energetically. Yeah. But if you're a free actor, then you're making the choice to do and be really from moment to moment. So you don't necessarily get the same kind of drainage going on when you're freely choosing the direction and the things that you do on a regular basis. But if you're under pressure all the time and you're acting under that pressure, then you are, you might as well be room temperature in a sense, because you're not really living.
Yeah. Yeah. To develop through awareness, you develop grace under pressure and grace in the face of adversity or temptations. People say things and it's like you're being tempted all of the time to either react, or even advertising or all the noise and on social media and YouTube. And you can spend days being just taking in information. It's fueling and feeding this sense of aimlessness. But as you start waking up and you start saying, wait, how taking the inflow is a drain on you and you don't realize it, or what you're taking in and also what you're putting out, and getting more purposeful. I know, like when I started teaching yoga classes in Hollywood in back around that same age in my early 20s, and I had a passion, I had a real interest in showing up and teaching these classes, but I was tired. And it's not, and then I'd show up for the class and I'd bring as much energy as I had and give my all to it. I'd walk away exhausted. And I started having to look at what's going on in the rest of my life that's having me be tired. Because now I have some one thing, and I'll tell you to anyone listening, that find one thing in your life that interests you. Find one thing that actually, oh, that thing is got some energy for me. That one, and if you find one thing that has some energy for you, it gives you an aim. It gives you a target, a focus. And in that focus is the access to finding your free energy, to be the free actor, because I started having to look at, well, all the rest of my life, drama or reactivity or old resentments, things that were weighing on me that I didn't know were weighing on me, but suddenly I wanted to know. And that wanting to know is correlated to awareness. You start waking up and you start seeing who are you in every area and every aspect of your life, with yourself, with others, and you start creating ways of being and acting that align you up. You get alignment to your true north.
Look, resentment is, when is resentment ever a positive experience? So if you react to something, you respond to it, it's a negative stimulus. Then it gets implanted in your mind with the experience, the negative experience, and then it circulates. And the French root of the word resentment is resentere. It means to feel again.
Yeah, so resentment is resend. Resent yes. is resend, right? It's replace it's on replay. It's on
it's
replay.
An automatic loop, right?
And it is bleeding out your life force.
It totally is. So then the question is, how do you stop the vicious cycle? And I'll tell you how to stop the vicious cycle, because most people are caught up in certain kinds of resentments and then compensations for those resentments. And that's where those emotions, those negative emotions, create the mother of addiction. See, those emotions are the mothers of addictions, different kinds of addictions, food, drugs, vaping, whatever it may be, exercise even to compensate for feeling weak. You want to be strong and so on. Nothing wrong with food and exercise and the rest of it. But when it stems,
it's how you use it.
When it spawns from a negative response to something, it's a compensation. And you're going to get energetically drained. So you believe
it's,
that
it's self-medicating in a way.
Exactly.
Can be, right? Yeah. When it's used like that. Yeah.
To stop the vicious cycle, the first time you catch yourself responding negatively, let's say you're going through a checkout line and the checker's just blowing you off and having a weird conversation with the person in front of you or being impatient.
The clerk is a jerk. Yeah.
Yeah. The clerk is a jerk. But you see, every moment that you have where you could respond negatively, you also have the capacity to free act and choose not to. And in that moment of choosing not to respond negatively, you've begun the process of free acting. And that starts a positive domino effect so that you don't walk away giving a piece of yourself to that moment, that inferior moment where you reacted badly.
Yeah, it's good. I had a term for that I used to use, which was instant forgiveness. So in the moment, in real situations with real people, and you see you're getting triggered and you start, your feathers are getting ruffled, right there, instant forgiveness. Just let it go, forgive. It's giving, right? You're giving up something. You're in the moment, but you, again, you're standing in awareness and you're aware of this side of yourself that's not aware and it's on autopilot, just ready to triggered and wait a reaction waiting to happen. And you're aware of this part of yourself. And in the moment, just let it go. Instant forgiveness.
Well,
flex and develop that muscle, the muscle called letting go. And most people's letting go muscles, that musculature is undeveloped. It's weak. It's like a little, it's that of a baby.
But the ego, like an umbilical cord, is wrapped around your being. And it will strangle you. You see, the ego that gets defensive in a moment where William Prescott said, without temptation, you cannot have virtue. But see, when the ego's wrapped around you, the ego begins to constrict and it begins to choke you out. And you can't help but feel that your heart races, the fight or flight starts to happen. So you have to disentangle from your ego. And without that temptation, without moments of challenge in life, you really don't have the opportunity to untangle from your ego reactions to challenging situations, which you could otherwise deal with positively, right? In other words, I had an experience where somebody, I gave somebody a $10 bill, a checker, and the checker gave me back 20. And I looked at her and I said, I only gave you a 10. She goes, you did? In other words, in her mind, she saw something entirely different than what happened. So I had an opportunity to say, hey, there's a free 10 bucks right there, but I didn't, because I didn't want the free $10. I wanted to do the right thing in that moment. And so there are moments in life where you make a choice about, okay, here's an opportunity to take an advantage, or here's an opportunity to do the right thing. Here's an opportunity to get upset, or here's an opportunity to let it go. And so I said to the checker, there's another checker another day. And I said, she was being very impatient. And I said, having a hard day, are you? I've had days like that. We all do.
Yeah.
It's okay. You take away the power of the other person to affect you in a negative way.
And then you affect them in a positive way. Right?
Of course.
Because that negativity, that clerk who might be having a rough day, who knows? Maybe he or she just got in a fight with their wife or their husband.
Yeah.
Maybe something happened and they're just they're on it about something. And so that energy, it spreads like fungus when we're being negative. And then if you react to that in that person, you're just a part of spreading that fungus, because then that person, the clerk, keeps being bitter to more people. And then you take on that energy. And now you're walking out into the parking lot of the store and someone cuts you off in traffic or something. And then now you're venting and spreading that fungus. And it's, or in that moment with that, you see that person, they're going through something. They're not being themselves, because probably they're inherently a decent person who doesn't really want to be like that. But if you can be a disruptor in that moment by disrupting it within yourself first, yeah. if it's there. And again, if you're aware, or you're aware of being aware, or being aware of your own, that side of you that's unaware on autopilot, if you're aware, if there's awareness present, it has a way of neutralizing a situation, neutralizing in it's preemptive, and it's without effort. When you start flowing more and more like this, I know in my life, I'll be at the airport, check in, you see the person, the plane's delayed, and you see all these people coming up and vomiting to the people at the counter, just emotionally, energetically vomiting on these people. And I'll go up, and when it's my turn, if I'm in line or something, I'll say, oh man, some of these people are being rough. And yeah. then I go, I don't know how you do it. You're good. You're good. And they immediately shift. And you see yeah. the whole countenance of their face, their energy, it shifts. It's almost like a relief. And you've provided some relief for that person. But in that moment, you're disrupting that spread of that energetic, toxic, emotional fungus.
Mm-hmm. Or the flip side of that is that there are people who will say nothing and internalize it and then go home and take it out on their dog.
Because, they go take it out on their kids, and then the yeah. kids go take it out on the dog, and then the yeah. dog goes and takes it out on the cat,
right?
And it's just spreading fungus, toxic fungus.
See, that's yeah. where the impulse to self-medicate comes from. Because yeah, once
and then you want to just go stand in front of the refrigerator and find something, because right. your hormones, yeah. your endocrine system's all whacked out, and now you have cravings.
Yeah,
that need to be, or you have pour a drink or something to self-medicate.
Yeah.
But so I want to point back to this topic of fatigue, mental, emotional fatigue. What we're speaking about here are your ways of being in life that actually, as you start having more flow and grace under pressure and just coming from a space where you're free, you actually start getting your natural energy, start getting your natural vibes back, good vibes. Mm-hmm. You start getting your energy back. The more you operate, and it's harder with people close to you. If you live with people, your family or a spouse or a partner, and you're like dealing with, but you have say over the matter of who you're being. And some situations are trickier. You're working with people and you have to be there every day with certain people that are just rubbing you. But remember, it's your life, and it's your life that's at stake. And it's your energy, your mental faculty, your mental acuity, your spiritual life is at stake. Life's like a street fight, and most people are doing terrible. They're getting their butts kicked.
Yes. Again, it's a simple choice that a person can make at any point in time. Let's say you start reacting to somebody and you catch yourself. And then in that moment, you apply a degree of, just like you were talking about, awareness, you become
instant
aware.
Forgiveness. Yeah.
But at the same time, you step back just enough to watch yourself and to forget about what's happening in front of you with that other person or in that situation. But you step back just far enough to see yourself just about to get ticked off or storm out. And I've seen a lot of people do this where they just leave. They get up and leave. They're in a restaurant. They're in a line. They're doing something. And they just leave. They can't take it anymore. Yeah. And if you step back far enough, that's where that moment of when you're seeing that challenge or that temptation, that's where you claim your real, actual virtue.
Yeah. 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 And the other point here in this conversation is, when you're aimless, you feel lost, like a bottle just being tossed around in the sea of life. And I'll tell you, when I was younger, when I started teaching these yoga classes, I had, that was one thing, like a stable anchor that held my interest. And I think people, something like 80% of all Americans hate their jobs.
Yeah.
Now, that'll exhaust you, especially if you're fueling it with hate and or resistance, resentment, and you're getting caught up in all the dynamics and the politics of it and But if you start taking back your power and prioritizing inner freedom and your own peace, and you start getting your energy back, and then, okay, maybe you need to keep that job just right in this point in phase of life for practical reasons, but find an interest, find something that interests you. It could even just be a student of life, but be a student of something and create a point of interest that can capture your focus. Again, just for me, showing up to having a class where I had to show up to a group of people, and it was interesting to me. It held my interest and my attention, and I wanted to show up as just the best version of myself and provide the best possible, best in class kind of experience for people. But it had me sort out who I was being in the rest of my life, the other 23 hours in the day.
Yeah.
It was like, and even just how I slept, the foods I was eating, that one thing became a true north that I had a commitment to and wanted to show up for fully. And I stuck, and it became a source of energy for me in my whole life, the other 23 hours a day of when I wasn't in that classroom, but it became a purpose. And having that purpose, I started finding love through purpose, a higher kind of love. Mm-hmm. And then how I wanted to show up. I wanted to show up just with pure intent and show up with love and giving and contributing and making a difference. And I got inspiration from that. And then when I was coming from that, people around me were inspired by that.
Yep.
And you're spreading a positive kind of vibe and energy, and rather than the negative side where you're spreading that toxic fungus. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the word inspire means God's breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you are either inspired or you are inspiring others, there's a force of energy within that is life itself. There's a breath of life in one of my favorite shows is The Chosen. And it's the story of Jesus and the disciples. But there are moments where I realize that I'm watching this and I'm feeling all this emotion as if I'm there. So who do you identify with? That's the other one. We were talking not long ago on a different show about identity. Is your identity yours? Or has it been formed from all these different associations with people and ideas that were put in your mind?
Groupthink and ideologies. And nowadays, like woke culture is a cult of groupthink like that, right? But that's everywhere all of the time. There's that temptation to be lost in the group, to wanting to fit in, but you end up taking on thinking and identity that's not your own.
That's right. And where do you get it? It comes from the outside in. But the fact is that you have an original identity that's there somewhere inside of you, and it's waiting for inspiration. It's waiting for breath to be given to it. It's waiting so that it can start to become alive. And usually, and I want to say this.
That's who you were born to be. Yeah.
And usually there's some kind of creative endeavor that sparks that. Now, it doesn't, for example, if I were in your neck of the woods, I would come to your classes because I want to be around people that inspire me to be a better person, to be healthy, to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very good.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing to purpose here for just to wrap everything together, because when you have purpose, you start, there's a natural passion and inspiration that arises in you and energy, and you'll start noticing, like I would suddenly, when I started having more purpose in my life, I realized, whoa, like I used to be tired all the time. Like I don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Or I used to feel isolated all the time. I don't really have that. I used to feel lonely. No, I'm alone at times, but I don't have loneliness. Like it's not a thing for me. But you start seeing through purpose, having aim in life, and you start getting your energy back, and that mental, emotional fatigue starts dissolving. The distractedness of that exists in the world we live in. It's just people are so distracted and they're unaware and unaware of being unaware. But that you start noticing, wow, all that distraction is now funneling into this one direction, this one focus, this purpose. Yeah. It doesn't have to be your livelihood. It could be, and maybe ideally it will grow into your livelihood in what you do and its work in the world. But it starts much simpler than that. Before I started teaching yoga classes, I just loved doing yoga. I felt so good. I would go to 2 classes a day because I just felt I'd go early morning and every evening as a bookend of a day. And I just felt so phenomenal from the physically, energetically, mentally. It was just like healthy. And so I was like, I want to share this with people. And it is so look to what you naturally love and start moving in that direction, putting more attention, putting more action into that thing. And you just need one thing and start gravitating toward that and see what happens in your life. And you'll start noticing, oh yeah, all that fatigue, that mental fatigue and aimlessness and isolation, and things start dissipating. And then as you're really interested, you'll start seeing others and meeting and greeting others who are also interested in what you're up to. And so isolation and alone all the time or what have you, all that starts shifting. But I think the way out is through purpose, having some aim in life. All right. I think this is a good place to wrap.
Yeah.
You all, yeah, I'll leave it on a quote. I think it was Paul from the Bible that said, when thine eye be single, when thy eye be single, your body shall be filled with light. All right, you all. Peace out. Stay bold. Stay strong. If you have questions, send them. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com email. And we're dropping these on YouTube twice a week. So check us out there. Disrupt the Drift on YouTube. And until then, stay true, stay bold, stay blessed, keep disrupting the drift. And till next time, peace be with you.